Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now so you can be on the air. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. That number, 844-32-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC, or the phone number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You talked about the fact that Basic Gospel is a media ministry dedicated to helping people hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ in day-to-day life. I mean, that's the real problem in Christianity today. We've heard the message, but we have little application of the message. And I think that's what makes Basic Gospel unique in the marketplace. We're giving people ways that they can practically apply this good news in their daily lives.
Right.
It's all a part of the discipleship making process. God has called us to make disciples. It's not enough, as far as he's concerned, just simply to get the message out. He wants people to really be true followers of Jesus Christ, to abide in Christ, and to allow his life to flow through them. And that's what that's really what God is doing through Basic Gospel. He is raising up a circle of disciples. I call it the Basic Gospel Circle. Mm-hmm. And many of our listeners are a part of that. They have listened, they have heard, they have believed, they're growing in their faith, and that nothing can thrill me any more than that. So when we ask you to support the ministry, that's what we're asking you to support, is this discipleship-making process where God is incorporating people into hearing, believing, and living out this good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the message. It's Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him and all that he does for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what the Word of God is about. It's all about Jesus. I love what Jesus wrote in John, or said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. They were looking for some formula. They were looking for some list of things to do that would give them entry into the kingdom. It says, but these are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. See, the story from beginning to end is the story of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He even amplified this a few verses later, but do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. So they were relying on this Mosaic covenant, and in doing so, they really missed I think what Moses was all about, because Moses knew that even though that they had been given the law, God's presence was much more important in their midst than those ten commandments. And that's what distinguished them as a people, and that's what Moses understood. Mm-hmm. And in all of his writings, he talked about a time when God would be in their midst always.
Right.
And that was the good news that he was trying to proclaim. So he said, your accuser is Moses, in whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me. Listen to this, because Moses wrote about me.
Yeah.
Who did Moses write about?
Jesus.
He wrote about Jesus Christ. And that's the story of Christmas. All that was written about Jesus in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in this great Christmas message, when God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, that he dwelled among us as the one full of grace and truth. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas season.
Absolutely. It is the message we proclaim every day on Basic Gospel. We hope you're hearing it. We hope you're believing it, and that it's coming to fruition in your life every day. Plenty of open lines, 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Kylo, who is listening to us in Corpus Christi on our great affiliate there, KCTA. Hi, Kylo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Good. There. Thank you. You too.
Yes, thank you.
We're certainly glad you called today. What's on your mind?
My basic question was, or is, rather, what were the Ten Commandments nailed to the cross also as just as the other ceremonial law or not? Is it just one law, or is it two laws separate, something like that?
Well, the law is one. You know, we try to divide it into moral law and ceremonial law. I don't think the Mosaic Covenant does that. They're all part of that one covenant that God gave to the people of Israel. And that, on a spiritual basis, turned out to be against us as people, because it judged us, it condemned us, it became a ministry of death. And Colossians chapter 2 says this: in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Now, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ.
I see.
He forgave us all our sins, and listen to this, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. So what were those written regulations? What was the written code? Well, it was the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law, that whole Mosaic covenant. Paul further amplifies this in his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter that is recorded in the Bible. He talks about the fact that he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. And in verse 7 of chapter 3, he said, "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory." So when Paul speaks about the law, he is certainly speaking about those Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments stood opposed to us and against us as far as our ability to earn righteousness through human effort. We could try to live up to those laws, and the more we try, the louder the voice of the law becomes in condemning, judging us, and showing us that our sentence is death. That's what the ministry of the law was all about.
Oh, I see. In other words, yeah, I think I understand. But the law reveals sin, right?
That's exactly right. It reveals sin, and so, when it reveals sin, we recognize the punishment that our sin deserves. That's why the law has that ministry of condemnation and a ministry of judgment and a ministry of death in our lives. So under the law, that we actually see that we're dead apart from Christ. And that's where grace enters the picture and shows us that we can be made alive through faith in Christ. So
I see. Well, thanks for clearing that up for me, and you all have a great day.
Well, you are more than welcome, Kylo, and that is a very significant question as far as how do we live this Christian life. There's so many people that look to the Ten Commandments as their rule of life. Well, in reality, we're selling ourselves short. God has something much higher, much better, superior to the old, and that's this new life that we have in Christ, a life that is led by the Spirit of God, that is lived by faith in Jesus Christ, and is expressed in love to others. That's the higher law that we're called to in this new covenant. And when we're walking in love, we don't have to worry about the moral law. That's going to take care of itself. When we're walking in love, we're certainly not going to be committing adultery on our wives. When we're walking in love, we're not going to be stealing or bearing false witness against others. We're going to be walking in truth and expressing this love of God to others in our relationships.
But what about the fourth commandment, the Sabbath? I mean, that's included in the Ten Commandments, right?
It's included in the Ten Commandments, but it's found its fulfillment in this Sabbath rest that we experience eternally. The writer of Hebrews talks about that in chapters 3 and 4 of his letter, and he says a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God, and he who has entered that rest has ceased from his works, just as Christ ceased from his. So there's no longer this human effort trying to earn God's good favor or to earn God's grace. We rest from that, we cease from that, and we rest in the finished work of Christ. And God calls that the Sabbath rest, and that's what the fourth commandment actually foreshadowed. And it's something that we experience every single day of the week. And it's actually an eternal rest that we enter into through faith in Jesus. So if we will understand this, that the law was merely a shadow of the good things that were coming, they were not the realities themselves. We find the reality in the person and work of Jesus. So what you have in Jesus is far superior than what you had in the Mosaic Covenant.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the insight. I mean, you guys have a great day.
We sure will, Kylo. Thank you, and Merry Christmas. Let me put you on hold. I think we have some great resources that we can send you that can help you. We have a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey, and it really addresses a lot of the questions that you've asked today, and it will drive you into the Word of God. And I think you will see in there exactly what we're talking about here, okay? You hang on, Kylo, and we'll just send it to you as our Christmas present.
Yeah. There are a lot of resources on our online store that can help you toward growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus. And you'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of it. A rich website with lots of information, store.basicgospel.net, or this, the main site, basicgospel.net. Now, plenty of open lines and time on the clock at 844-32-BASIC. We'd love to hear from you and the remainder of the program. We have several minutes left, as a matter of fact, quarter hour left. So give us a call. We'll be glad to address your question. 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go up to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Martin. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
How are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm in victory. What about you?
Well, I think we're there with you, except I have a little tickly throat. Yes. What's on your mind?
Yeah, because what happened is that, to make one story short, sometimes I go to a SDA church once a month, and when the pastor asks everybody, how's everyone, we say, in victory.
Okay.
So that's the reason why I said it. Anyway, so regarding Matthew 1:21, the Bible tells us, it says that she will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What sins are they talking about?
Well, good question. Jesus came to save us from our sins, and he does that by
is Basic Gospel, and Bob is having a little throat problem here, and but we will continue here in just a moment, and it's a good question you pose, Martin.
Yeah, Martin, what Matthew is talking about here is that God announced through the angel to Joseph that Jesus was coming to deal once and for all with the sin problem. Sin is a two-pronged problem. The first issue is unbelief. Every sin comes from unbelief, a lack of faith. And then the second problem, of course, is that there is a behavioral aspect to it. And we tend to focus on the behavior. God is focusing on the unbelief. And he sent Jesus to deal with both issues very successfully in his death, and then to come back in his resurrection, able to give life if we would accept it. And so he dealt with all sin, all kinds of sin. The only thing left for us to do is to say yes or no. If we say yes, we receive life and forgiveness. If we say no, we remain condemned.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense to you, Martin? So the sins... we could list them all. The lies that we tell, the false witnesses that we give, the coveting of our neighbor's things. These are all things that are outlined for us in the Ten Commandments that helps define sin in our lives. But the root of all of that, as Richard was saying, is this unbelief. And
yes.
So Jesus came to save us from...
Yeah, he came to save us from that as well. And you notice that if you just look at sins as terrible negative things that we do, you miss the point. Because all of the good things that we do, if we do them by outside of faith, outside of belief in Jesus Christ, are just as sinful. And that's the gotcha. That's the thing that Satan did that really took humanity down the drain. He got us to thinking about the difference between good and evil instead of the difference between faith and unbelief. And we've got to keep focused on Jesus and having faith in him.
Amen. Well, Martin, somewhere in the Bible, I think it was in John, it says that Satan, he came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
That's where the world today is in very bad danger.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for your call today and excellent question. I love this entire
passage.
Yeah, and to you as well, Martin. Merry Christmas. I do love this entire passage where the angel gives names to Jesus. Jesus meaning that he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus actually means. And then he goes on to say Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in those names, we see the gospel story that Jesus died to save us from our sins. He took away the penalty of our sins.
So he
saved us from the punishment. And in his resurrected life, God with us, he saves us from the power of sin. And that is the good news of the gospel. So, Martin, thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. We'll be going to Eugene, Oregon to talk to Bill in just a moment, but friends, I want to remind you, as I've said before, that when you write or call to offer a word of encouragement or to share a newfound understanding of God's grace in Jesus Christ, it's really a fresh reminder of one of the primary reasons that we're on the air every day. And when you give to help Basic Gospel on the air and online, we know that God has used this ministry to make a difference in your life. And of course, for that, we're truly grateful. And together, we've been blessed with a marvelous privilege of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Together with you, it's our hope to reach greater numbers of those of you who hear, believe, and live the good news of his love, grace, and life. And if you've supported Basic Gospel in the past, you are a terrific encouragement to us, as I said, and you're one of the primary reasons that we're here. And friends, if you have not begun to support this ministry, we ask you to become a partner with us now. We need your generous support at this time, and you'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. And either way, we hope to hear from you today.
Yes, indeed. We certainly need the support. We have a year-end target. We mentioned that Monday of about $213,000. Mm-hmm. And if we hit that, that will help us finish our year strong and give us the momentum to move into 2015 on really solid footing.
Yeah.
So step up to the plate. Join us. Rise up to this mission that God has called us to in making disciples, building the basic gospel circle, people who are learning to hear, believe, and live this good news. It's those people
Absolutely.
That are going to make an impact in their churches, in their communities,
yeah.
in their families. That's the mission God has called us to. It is those people that are going to stand as ministers of the new covenant. They're going to stand as ministers of reconciliation. They are going to be ambassadors for Christ. And that's what God is building and developing through this outreach. So come be a part of that mission. It is the most worthwhile mission that there is on this planet.
On the planet, absolutely.
Yeah, so you can be a part of it by simply giving and praying for Basic Gospel.
Yeah. Again, you'll find a support link at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Eugene, Oregon, and talk to Bill, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill. It's your turn. Well, apparently Bill has left the phone. So in the meantime, I want to pose a question here that basically plays into the greater question that was presented by Kylo a little bit earlier, our first call today. This is a question from Maria, who lives in Oceanside, New York, and actually I've written a detailed response to her on this particular question, but it's one that keeps a lot of people confused. She says, my question is regarding tithing, 10%, which the Old Testament says I'm to do, and I'm confused. Some teachers say that we don't go by the Old Testament, then others say that we do. Living in God's grace today, we are supposed to live by that commandment? That's a question. She says, is Malachi for us today? Is tithing a must? Are we punished if we don't tithe? I'm confused. Please help. That's from Maria.
a lot of confusion out there, yes, on that particular issue. But it really, I think, highlights a bigger issue. Are we Old Covenant people or New Covenant people?
Yes.
Israel was an Old Covenant nation. The Mosaic Covenant governed the people of Israel. Individually, they were to live by faith. Those laws, festivals that they celebrated, all of those things were fingers pointing forward to Christ Jesus. And so they were to actually live by faith in these coming promises. That's what God was asking of them. But many of those folks missed that message and adopted the Ten Commandments as their way to earn righteousness. And many people do that today. Well, we're not under that old covenant. We're new covenant people. Jesus died, and in his death, he fulfilled that old. He fulfilled the old covenant. He suffered the punishment, so he paid the penalty that the old covenant required. The soul that sins will surely die. He paid that penalty, freeing us so that we could experience new life. And this new life is to be lived through the boundaries of this new covenant, which is far superior than the old. It's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant on God's shoulders. He's the one that has promised these things, and he's going to be faithful to deliver on each of his promises. And he does that when we come to him by faith, when we're born again into the kingdom of God. We've been given new life. That's what this new covenant is all about. It is a ministry of life. So we receive that life. So what does this new life in Christ tell us about giving? Well, we are to be controlled or moved by the Spirit to give of our resources as he directs. So there's no set amount in this new covenant. It simply says and encourages us to excel in the grace of giving. And how do we excel in the grace of giving? By living out what the Spirit of God is working on us in the inside. That's how we excel in the grace of giving. And it's a natural thing. When we come to Christ by faith, Christ comes to live inside of us. Well, Christ is a giver. He Yes. so loved us that he became one of us. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. God is a giver. So when he comes to live inside of us, he is going to form us and shape us into his image. We're going to become givers.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
That's just as simple as it is. So follow the impulses of the Spirit that are at work inside of you, and I think this giving thing will take care of itself.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder if we have time maybe to see if Bill's on the line.
We'll check it out. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. We're just about out of time, so pose your question quickly for us, Bill.
Yes, sir. My question has to deal with being born into sin. I know that Christ is without sin, but how do we explain that to unbelievers that that being told that all men are born into sin, Christ was not?
Well, that's why the virgin birth is really not up for option. It's not up for debate. It had to be that way. Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, and he entered into this world sinless. So he was not, under the condemnation of sin and death when he entered into this world. He was not like we were as we came into this world. So that's how we explain it. And that's what makes his death on the cross sufficient to take away our sins. If he had been born into sin like everyone else, then there was no way that he could actually pay the penalty for our sins. He could have died to pay the penalty for his own sins, but not for ours. So the fact that he was sinless, that he was born of a virgin, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit are really non-negotiables as far as the Christian faith is concerned.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, thanks for your call today. We're out of time, and we certainly encourage you to call any time, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And, Bob, we appreciate your tenacity in working through the congestive issues that you've been suffering through. Well, friends, we invite you to be back for another live edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. So for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.